This sheet is dedicated Le'il Nishmas Uvi Moiri Yixil Yehida Ben Tzvi Ve'imi Marusi Laya Bashmil Tahay Nishmusam Tziriru B'tzroi Hachayim.
The night is four Nishmas. Now remember, no matter how long or how short it is, the night is divided into 12 hours. And the same is for the day. Those 12 hours, not clock hours, are divided according to Rabbi Nosson in four Nishmas. From the Rebbe, four Mishmas. Rebbe Nosson, Eimer, Sholosh. They divide the three Mishmas. What's his reason that he says three? The Chassid, Vayavai Gideon, Omeo Ish Asher Ita. Gideon came with 100 men with him, the Ksei HaMachne, at the edge of the camp of the enemy, was attacking at night. At the beginning of the middle watch, Tichenim is the middle watch of the night. Now, if it says middle, so the Baisa says, Tonagolim the Baisa, Ein Tichenim, you cannot say middle, Elashiyesh Lefonia Olachreo. There's one before and one after. So therefore, you must say the three Mishmots. And there are four, there's no middle watch. The middle watch is but no middle watch singular. So if they say Ashmuris Tichreya, the middle watch, it proves that there are three, one before the middle, one after the middle. The Rebbe, what is the answer to that? The Rebbe says there are four. He says, my Tichreya, it means Achas Mina Tichreya Shebitachreya, one of the middle watches. One of the two in the middle, say that. Rebbe Nosson, what is the answer? Rabbi Nosson said, "Me ksiv, is it written tichayna shebe tichaynes? Is it written one of the middle watches? Tichayna ksiv, the middle watch, singular. So we see there are only three. My time with Rabbi. What's Rabbi's proof? Omer Rabbi Zriki, Omer Rabbi Ami, Omer Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Kosu v'echad emet. One pasuk says about David Hamelach. Chatzos laylo okum lahidus lecho al mishpatei tzidkecha. In the middle of the night, I arise to give thanks to you for your righteous judgments. It means he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving the Torah. He made a bracha like we're supposed to make before learning Torah when you get up, and he was busy then learning Torah. So when did he start? Middle of the night. The cause of Echad Omer. Another pasuk says, Kodmu Einai Ashmureis, my eyes were early before the watches. It means there were two watches left when I arose in the middle of the night. Two watches remained to go through the night. How could that be? In the middle of the night, there should be two watches left. So he must say, Arba Mishmores, Havi Alai, there are four Mishmores. So when he arose in the middle of the night, it was after the first two, and he had two more to go. And that's called the middle of the night. So you see there are four watches. Rebbe Nosson, what is the answer to that? Sova lo Rabbi Yishua. He holds like Rabbi Yishua, who has a different explanation. The Tan, we learned in Mishnah, Rabbi Yishua Meir, Ad Sholish Shoyes Kiyishma, is up to the third hour in the daytime. Now he's talking about the daytime. Kiyishma up to 3 hours in the daytime. Why the third hour? Shekein derech melochim lamed b'sholish shoyes. Melochim arise in the third hour. So therefore, some arise at the beginning, some arise near the end. So Kriyishma says, Uvi kumecho, Kriyishma shel shachris, when you arise in the morning. So therefore, they have the whole third hour to finish to say Kriyishma. After that, it's Pesman Kriyishma. That's how we paskin. Now, so since we see that other Melochim begin arising at the beginning of the third hour, where David HaMelech arose earlier, so therefore he said Mishmores ahead of him, taking the nighttime Mishmores that remained and the daytime Mishmores where he could have slept had he been like other kings. So together comes Ashmoas. He explains now. Shays Delilah, the six Mishmoas of the night, because he rose in the middle of the night. Excuse me, 6 hours of the night. Shays Delilah, 6 hours of the night. He rose in the middle of the night, so he had 6 more hours to go of the night. The Tal to the moment, and 2 hours of the day that he could have slept. Havilahu. So these 8 hours are Shtei Mishmoas. According to Rabbi Nosson, every Mishmer is 4 hours. So he said, my eyes arose earlier to Mishmoas before all the rest of the kings. That's 6 hours to go to sleep at night. Other kings slept, and they slept 2 more hours in the day. That's 8 hours. So that's 2 times 4 Mishmoas. 4 times 2 Mishmoas. Say that. Ashiyama. The Rashi says another explanation for Rabbi Nosson. Mishmora upalgo nami. 1.5 mishmoras are also called mishmoras, plural. Mishmora upalgo nami mishmoras korvu. 1.5 mishmoras are also called mishmoras, plural. So if he arose in the middle of the night, he only had a mishmor and a half to go for the night time. That's called mishmoras. So my eyes began earlier than the end of the night. 2 mishmoras. It means a mishmar and a half is called 2 mishmaras. Omar, Rabbi Yisriki, Omar, Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Yashir ben Levi. Now, because this combination of names is unusual, so he brings whatever ma'amorim are found under this combination of names, even though it's not connected to our sugya, because the Gemara was memorized. And as soon as this chain of names are mentioned, so your memory will recall all the other things that they said. Ein umrim b'fnei ha'mes ela dvorav shalmes. In the presence of a mess, you can only say things about the mess. Now what that means, either things that are necessary for preparation for burial, or a hesped in honor of the mess or to mourn for the mess. Otherwise you can't say. Now what that means, and why that's so, we'll soon see. The 2 shittas. Omer Rebbe Bar Kahane Le'amoran. We only said that Ela B'Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah you cannot say in the presence of a mess. Avo Mile De'Almi. But worldly things less long, but we don't care. So according to this shita, Rebbe Bar Kahane, the reason he cannot speak in the presence of a mess is because the mess now knows that his opportunity is finished. And therefore, if you say Divrei Torah close to the mess, it's called Loyeg Lo Rosh. You are mocking the poor man. It's forever now. He's deprived the opportunity to say Divrei Torah. We came to this world for that purpose, because Torah is the greatest of all purposes of serving Hashem and purposes of perfection. Now, the mess knows now what it means. If he could come back for a minute, it would be his greatest joy. But now you are taunting him, you're tantalizing him by saying Divrei Torah near him. So therefore you cannot speak Divrei Torah. Other things you could speak. Some say a different version. We didn't say that. Even Divrei Torah you can't say. Because you can mila dama, certainly worldly things you can't say. According to this, the reason is disrespectful. In the presence of the mess, everybody should be awed by the phenomenon of death. We should feel sympathy that he lost his great opportunity forever. That's what death means. He'll never be able again to have this opportunity, and therefore everyone who stands near him should be awed into silence. But if they're speaking, it shows kalus reish. So he said, even Divrei Torah you can speak, and certainly worldly things you can speak. That surely shows Kavlis Reish. Say that. Keep your finger on the line and look on the second Tesvus. Ein Emrim b'fnei ha'mes, the second Tesvus. Ein Emrim b'fnei ha'mes, ala dvorav shalmes. Posak Rav Alphis, Mishum Rav Hai, in the name of Rav Hai Goyim, Davke Divrei Torah. That's also. Avot dvorim be'alme les lonbo. Any other words, we don't care. So we see he follows the first explanation, that is loyeg l'rosh, is mocking the dead man, now tantalizing him, because he doesn't have the opportunity anymore. If he could come back for 1 minute, it would be his greatest joy. And here's somebody standing near him saying divrei Torah and tantalizing him. Now, even though the mess might not be thinking that, but we have to feel that. And therefore, it's considered cruel for us to speak divrei Torah near the mess. But worldly things, it's mutar. V'davke be'arbe ames shalom, only if you're close within his 4 ames. Say that. When saying something l'koved ha'mes, like a hesped, then it's mutar to say divrei Torah close to him. Now, in the Gemara, 6 lines after Gemara Shpes, flag the Gemara, v'dovid v'palge v'leile ha'vekoi, did David get up in the middle of the night? Me so late? Me'urte ha'vekoi, he used to get up in the evening, when the evening began. That's when he started his avodah. The chesiv is written, Kidamti ba'neshev, I began early in the evening. Neshev means evening. Ba'ashaveyah, and I cried out to you. So David spent his entire night saying Tehillim to Hashem, in addition to learning. Kidamti, I began earlier ba'neshev. Neshev means evening. So we see it was not the middle of the night. It began at the beginning of the night. At the beginning of the night, when things quieted down from his duties as a melech, and people stopped coming. So then he settled down to the main business of life, of speaking to Hashem. The Chavis HaLodah says that. In Shah Aves Hashem, if somebody wants to gain the meat of Aves Hashem, he should speak to Hashem at night. And the Rambam says, if he wakes in the middle of the night, so he's lying on his bed, so he should speak to Hashem, and that's a way of coming to love of Hashem. When you're alone, in the middle of the night, only the... David did it all night. How do you know? Now this kasha is based on the translation Neshev means evening. How do you know the high Neshev or two? This Neshev is evening. Therefore it's a kasha on the other statement that he began in the middle of the night. The chesiv is written, answers, it's written, Neshev be'erev yom. Erev yom means the evening of the day. Be'ishan laila da'afilah, when it's already dark. So we see Neshev and Erev are synonymous. And Erev means the evening. So we see that David began in the evening. So why do you tell me that he began in the middle of the night? Omar Abu Shaye, Omar Abache, Hoche Kama. But Eilom, it means this. He usually began in the beginning of the night. Sometimes he was occupied and he couldn't begin. He never started later than the middle of the night. Never did the middle of the night pass over and find me in sleep. Although most of the times he began at the beginning of the night. Say that. That's the first answer. The other answer is coming. The first answer, however, let's sum up, that David said, never did the middle of the night find him asleep. Most of the times he began the beginning of the evening. Another time, until the middle of the night, he slept like a horse. Now, when you say you sleep like a horse, it means something else. It didn't mean he slept soundly. He slept dozing off. A horse stands while he's waiting for his master to come out of the house where he's supposed to deliver something. So the horse catches a little nap while he's standing. Not much of a nap. And therefore, David, from the beginning of the night, used to doze off and go back to his avoida, doze off and go back. He fought with himself. But in the middle of the night, he became like a lion and he arose to the Avedas Hashem. So the first half of the night, he was fighting with himself. He kept on learning, dozing off, learning, dozing off. In the middle of the night, he arose like a lion. That's what he said. Ah, Tatsus Lilo, Honyas Naman and Kazusi used to doze off like a horse. I mean, snatch a wink here and there. But from then on, he was no longer a horse. He became a lion in the middle of the night. He rose like a lion, roaring to go in the service of Hashem. I once saw a businessman, many years ago, a film businessman, who used to come in the yeshiva at night, and for hours and hours he sat fighting with himself. He shouldn't fall asleep. Woke up and learned again. Those that work and learned again. Hours and hours. That's what he was doing. Only the winks were fewer than that man's winks. And so all night he fought with himself until the middle of the night. And then he won, because it was the middle of the night already. He can't afford to waste any more time, so he learned all the time like a lion. Till the middle of the night, from then on, he spent the rest of the night singing to Hashem and praising Hashem. It means he was fulfilling what it says in Shir HaShirim, Al Mishkovi Balelos, on my bed at night, Bikashti Eisho Ahavo Nafshi, I seek him whom my soul loves most. And so the first half of the night was Isaac and Taylor, and the second half of the night he was busy speaking his songs of love to Hashem. Say that. Frag de Gemara Neshev Otu, is Neshev evening? That's how he said, Kidamti ba Neshev, I arose at the beginning of the evening. Boha Neshev Tzafu, Neshev is morning, he's bringing a pussy now. Neshev means morning. Yasi ba Yah came David, David smote the enemy, who was fighting against the enemy, so he smote them. Meha Neshev, Atar Evelimokrosim, from Neshev until the evening of the next day. So Neshev, if Neshev is evening, why does he change the expression from Neshev until Erev? It seems from Neshev, from the morning, until the Erev. If that's the case, what's meant by Mocharosan? Because Erev means the next day. The new day begins at night. So he started smiting them from the morning, at the beginning of the morning, to the evening, at the beginning of the next day. So it seems. Ma'alav doesn't mean Mitzafro Be'ad Leila, from the morning until the night. And therefore Neshev would mean morning. And Tirmolov. It means Me'urti ad ut, from evening till evening. Me'neshev ad erev l'mocharosim means from the Neshev, this evening, to the evening of the next day. That's why it says l'mocharosim. Frag di mohoche v'so, lichter me'aneshev ad ha'neshev, o me'erev ad ha'erev. Why did he change the expression? So we see Neshev must mean not evening, elo ha'marovim. We have two kinds of Neshev. Neshev actually means when something moves out. Now, when it's morning, the night is moving out, and the morning is moving in. And evening, the day is moving out, and the night is moving in. So therefore, Neshev can mean one of these two times. Noshev Laila V'yosiyamam, when the night moves out and the day comes. Or Noshev Yemavosiyamam, when the night moves out and the day. When the day moves out and the night comes. So therefore, and that pasuk man nefesh neshev ad erev yom means like a baker, means morning. But when David rose in the neshev, means the beginning of the night. Say that. We must know that throughout the generation there are many Jews who attempted to emulate David. The Gros slept 2 hours out of the 24 for many years. They took this literally. Of course we can't do that because it would unsettle the minds, chas v'shalom. That's a way to reach insanity. But in those great days, when Jews were influenced literally by the Gemara, there were a lot of Jews who lived that way. David, David, did he know when was the middle of the night? Meish Rabbeinu didn't know the middle of the night. It means, first of all, they didn't have clocks. Even if they did, they wouldn't say middle unless they knew the exact, precise middle. The Chassid is written, Kachatzos ha'layla ani yotzei b'seich Mitzrayim. It was foretold by Moshe that Hashem will go out in the middle of the night to smite Egypt, makas b'cheres. But it states here not middle of the night. It says kachas is around the middle of the night. That's a queer expression for that Kodesh Baruch Hu to say, because he certainly knows. My kachazis, what's meant kachazis? Ilem shall I say, the Amalei Kudesh Brifu. HaKodesh Baruch Hu said kachazis, means somewhere in the middle of the night. Mihike sveike kamishmai, that's a famous statement in the Gemara. Is there any doubts before heaven? HaKodesh Baruch Hu has no sveikas. Mihike sveike kamishmai. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu could have said, kachazis halayla. Why say kachazis? Elo means the Amalei Bachatzos. Hashem said Bachatzos. But also, even Moshe came and said, Kacha says, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't certain when it would happen. He didn't know when. He knew it would be the middle of the night. When people will ask him, is now the middle of the night? He doesn't know what to answer. So therefore, in order that he should remain before the people with integrity, so he said, it'll be around the middle of the night. Nobody should be able to contradict him. But Hashem said, the middle of the night. Moshe said, around the middle of the night. Alma, we see, Mirsab Kalei, that Moshe Rabbeinu was in doubt when the middle of the night would be. And the David Havayod, and could David know? If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, how could David know? And for the Gemara, David Simna Havale, David had a simen to know the middle of the night. Omar Abache Bar Bizna Bar Bishur Shimil Hasidim. David, a harp was hanging over David's bed where he slept. When the middle of the night came, the north wind came and blew on the strings of his harp. And it played a certain tune of itself. Immediately he used to arise, until the dawn arose. Now, just why the wind blew in the middle of the night, probably it was a special favor min ha-shamayim for David HaMelech, that this wind should come in the middle of the night, because he needed that in order to carry out his avodah. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was serving Hashem all day long. He didn't stop. He's 24 hours working in avodah Hashem. But David, but Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was half Elohim and half man. But nobody else in the world ever had that attribute, being half Elohim and half man. But David HaMelech was a human being, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this privilege. He should know when the middle of the night is. He shouldn't waste his years. He should be able to utilize his life. So every time in the middle of the night, min HaShamayim, it was a visitation that let him know exactly when it was. Say that. Since he began the statement by Rabbi Shimon Chasida, so he continues to quote from him. Kivin she'ol amud ha-shachar, when the dawn rose, nichnesu chachmei Yisrael etzlo. David HaMelech had a busy schedule. It began at daybreak. The chachmei Yisrael came into him at the beginning of the dawn. Omer said, Adoneinu HaMelech, our master, O king, amcho Yisrael tzrichim parnose. The people need parnasa. It means we have a lot of aniyim. That's only an example of what used to come with various problems. Omar Emse said, Lechu v'hispalnasu zemize. Go and support each other. Give tzedakah or collect more taxes and help people be supported. Omar said, Ein ha-kemetz masbiya es-ho-ari. A handful cannot satiate a lion. It means we have a big population, and we're not able to satiate them. A pit can never be filled from its own earth. If you take the earth out of a pit, pit won't be filled. In Falsh Master Kashi, it's the opposite. You take out the earth and put it back, it won't go into the pit. Let me Falsh on that. We won't go into that right now. Taisa speaks about that. He says, it's not enough for us. Amalim said, Lechu go, O Pishtu Yedechem Bigdu, stretch out your hand with battalions, it means. Go and take spoils from the nations around. This you have to know. It states in Tilim, La Seish Nekomo Bagoyim, Tochechos Balumim, to do revenge against the nations and rebuke upon the peoples. The two things here, there's Nekomo and Tochecho. The nations around had despoiled the Am Yisrael for a long time before David came. For many years, for hundreds of years, they had despoiled the Am Yisrael. In the Sefer Shoftim, you read what happened, and also Shmuel Aleph. That's why they asked for a king finally. They couldn't tolerate anymore the depredations that the nation made on them. Midian and Plishtim and Ammon and Moab, they suffered very much. So there were a lot of old accounts to settle. And they had robbed our people of a great deal. They had put heavy taxes, and they took tributes for long generations. So there were old, long-standing accounts to settle. But the Jews were too busy. Jews are busy with their own affairs, and Jews are not interested in war. But when they now they needed extra money, so David said, "Now go stretch out your hand in the battalions and go and collect your old debts." That's Lasas Nekoma Bagoyim. Or there's also Tochechas Balumim, because the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are an obligation on Goyim. When Goyim commit bloodshed against each other even, or they commit adultery or even idolatry, and they transgress all the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, it's up to the Jewish Beis Din to enforce it, and you have to punish them. And Goyim, when they transgress a Chayav Misa, that's their punishment. So therefore it's necessary. Only who has time to police the Goyim? There's so much to be done by Jews in their own land to learn Torah and mitzvahs. But when they needed Palmosa, now they had a justification. So he said, go stretch out your hand in the battalions and go and do Nekoma Bagoyim, collect your past accounts until Chechaz Balonim, and execute them. And part of the execution is when you execute them, take away their property. Miyad, immediately, Yoyad Sien Bachisefel, they took counsel Bachisefel, because he was the great counselor, as we'll soon see, what to do, where to go. So after they took counsel from him, Nimlochim B'Sanhedrin, and they took permission. Nimloch means to take counsel or permission from Sanhedrin. You couldn't go to war unless the Jewish Sanhedrin gave the permission. And then the Sheali, then he had to ask that Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, he didn't ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu first. It would be a waste of effort. We're not matriach the nevuah until we know that the thing is feasible. After Achisefel counseled it and Sanhedrin gave the permission, then we ask the Urim et Tumim. That's the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which used to tell the king or the rulers beside the king what the will of Hashem is. Omar Rav Yeser, what's the pasuk that it went in that order? Maiko, it says, Ve'achari Achisefel. After Achisefel, that was a great counselor, it was Benoyohu Ben Yehoyoda. Now he was the Sanhedrin, or he was the Reish for Sanhedrin. And after him was Eviyosar, he was the Kohen Gadol. And after him was Sar Tzvo Lamela, the general was Yev. Then he took over. So we see they followed that procedure. It now explains. Achisefel ze yoyetz. He was the counselor. The kahu oimer, a remarkable pasuk that follows. Atzas Achisefel, asher yoatz vayomi mohem, the counsel of Achisefel, when he used to give advice in those days, was considered by the people, kasher yishal bidvar elokim, as if someone consulted the word of Hashem. That's how respected Achisefel was. That's why later, when Achisefel turned sour, and he became an enemy of David, and he counseled the people to rise in revolt against David, he made a revolt against him. But in those days, Achisefel's counsel was revered as if a man consulted Dvar Elokim. So he was the first one to ask. Then follows Benoyohu ben Yehoyada, Zer Sanhedrin, because he was the Reish of the Sanhedrin. He was the Av Beis Din. Ve'Aviyosa, who was the Kohen Gadol, El Urim V'Tumim, Chenu Emer, Ubenoyohu ben Yehoyada was appointed ala Kresi ala Plesi. And the Gemara explains Kresi or Plesi means the Urim et Tumim. The Lomo Nikro Shmon, why were they called Kresi or Plesi? Kresi Shekurisi and Divreim. They cut their words clear. It means this. When the Gentiles consulted their oracles, this well known fact, the oracle of Delphi, for instance, always answered in a shadowy, general way, and no, they should never be caught lying. Later they can say, that's what we meant. But the Urim et Tumim were precise, clear-cut whatever they said. They cut their words sharp. They expressed clearly, there shouldn't be any doubt. Now, after that, Saul saw the general of the army, the Melech, who was Yoav, he was general of the king's army. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Adet, Omar of some say Omar Rav Yitzchok Breda Rav Idi. Michael, what's the pasuk that David had a harp that gave him the signal of the middle of the night? Uro Kvoidi, awake my glory. Uro Hanevel, awake, O harp, the chinar, and the lyre, L-Y-R-E, or Ira Shachar, let me awake the morning. It means as follows. Kvedim means my neshama. The glory of a man is the perfection of his soul. And this was the opportunity every night. So he said, awake the glory of my soul. Awake, O harp. Now because the harp and the lyre are externalities. But like the Mesillas Shishama says, Hachitzenius Merez Asapnimis, we use externalities to bestir the greatness of our interiority. And so the outside world is like a harp for us, and the greatness that's in a Jewish soul is bestirred by the outside world. In this case, it was a harp. Actually, other things too. When people see the sun, when you see the skies, Kiyere Shomecho, Masiyetz Bersecho, Yorech Vechorim Asher Kananto, so there's bestirred in a man greatness of soul when he sees Masi Yodav Shalakodish Baruch. In this case, it was the harp and the lyre that awakened the greatness of David's soul. Or Irasha, let me wake up the morning. Not I should wait till the morning to wake me up. I'm going to wake up the morning. Say that.
This shiur was made available by kolavigdor.com.